Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is. Talking about the way the world is.
It's Crawl Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Push and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaged listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crosstalk Radio. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm your boy, Big Pudge.
We got a great topic as always. But before we get into this topic, I got to get some things out the way real quick because I want people, I don't want to forget this kind of stuff, man.
So okay.
I want to make sure if y'all thinking y'all are going to miss an episode or y'all thought y'all missed an episode at 12 o'clock on Monday, please go to Buzzsprout or crosstalk@buzzsprout.com. You can hear each and every one of our episodes at any given time. You can download them, you can listen to them. Each and every episode, once we post it, it is posted forever.
Forever.
Forever. Like saying like forever. And
ever. Ever, ever. Ever,
ever, ever, ever. Exactly. So make sure if you want to hear the episode again, go to crosstalk.buzzsprout.com.
All right.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're everywhere we need to be for you to get us and pick us up and listen to us. Also, if you have any topics or any questions, anything you want to talk to us about, hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. All Crosstalk with a K as always.
All right, so before you go further, man, I got to give you, I purposely didn't say this before we started talking, I got to give you a Lyft Chronicle. Oh my gosh, a Lyft, it's not an Uber story, okay, it's a Lyft story.
Okay, Lyft Chronicle, okay, cool.
Lyft Chronicles, last night, so I picked this white boy up past Buckhead. You know, if anybody knew anything about Georgia, Buckhead's where the white rich folks stay, way past 400. The address he puts in, I don't know the address, but at the end of the address, it says Northwest Atlanta. So if anybody know anything about Georgia, Georgia's one of them states where if you put northeast, northwest, you will literally be on one side of the town versus the other side of town.
Exactly.
So anybody know anything about Atlanta, northwest? Northwest is the most roughest neighborhood in Atlanta. It's over by the Bluff. If anybody know what the Bluff is. So this white boy is, he gets in the car, stupid drunk. And he gets in the front seat, which I can't stand. So dude get in the front seat. He's riding, talking and whatnot, you know. And I got the window all the way down because he's one of them friendly white boys that just, like, want to be all up in your face when you're talking. So, and I'm kind of used to that, so I'm not bothered, you know, saying to perturb or anything. And dude take his hand and go reach his hand around my car seat, like, to go put his hand behind, like, my headrest. So, and he's talking to my...
Is he in the passenger seat?
He's in the passenger seat sitting next to me. So his hand is behind my head right now. So I'm looking crazy. And,
as well you should.
Yeah, as well, exactly. Because I don't like men at all. You know what I'm saying? So he's talking. And He says something, and then before I was about to say to him, tell him to move his hand, he went ahead and moved it. So I'm like, okay, cool. So it was so I had to go pick up two other people because it's called a pool ride. So I picked them two white boys up, and I'm happy that they're in the car, and I'm really hoping that they stay in the car with me. But I only took them 4 minutes up the street and got them back out the car.
So
oh my
still
God!
Back with the dude in the
still done, and mind you, I still got 25 minutes to ride with this man in the car while I just done dropped them off already. So, in the midst of dropping them off, we talking about hip hop. He asked me to school him on hip hop. The two white boys knew about hip hop then, and he didn't. So he's 24 years old. He was born in 93. He said his version of hip hop was Nelly, Country Grammar. That's when he found out what hip-hop was. So me and the other two white boys in the back is scolding him because I'm like, you born and bred in Georgia, but you ain't saying nothing about Outkast. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
That's totally disrespectful for you to be from Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
And you bring up a Country Grammar dude from St. Louis, but you didn't say nothing about, like, that. So he felt like I was upset about that, which you could clearly tell in my face I wasn't, but mind you, he's drunk. Step, the man goes and he takes his hand and he puts it behind the back of my neck to try to massage my neck.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. That's gross.
I'm uncomfortable
just thinking about that.
Stab. I took my, you know how somebody do like this and you go like that?
Yeah.
I went like that. I said, dude, why you touching me, bruh? Well, what's wrong with you, man? And he was like, I said, man, get your hand from behind me, man. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, y'all, I prayed to God that before my shift started, he would bless me in the area of making a lot of money that night.
Yeah.
However, he saw fit for me to make it. People, when you ask God for stuff, you got to be prepared for whatever he's going to throw at you to make that money.
Yeah.
I had to put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah.
Because normally I would have went off. Okay. But he was the first ride after my prayer.
All right, so let me ask you this. I hear you.
Uh-huh.
So when he hits your neck again, when he put his hand on your neck again, to massage your neck, right? Which uh-huh. I'm totally uncomfortable even saying that.
Yes, that's...
But, was the other dude still in the car?
No, they had got the car already. Because I figured he wouldn't have did that while he was in the car.
Okay,
they had already got the car, and that was the first time I was ever sad to see two people get out of my car. To be left alone with this one dude. So... Mind you, I told him that, you know what I'm saying? I pushed his arm out the way and told him to give his arm from behind me, and we still got 23 more minutes left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we ride. Now, mind you, he's one of them white boys where he got his GPS on. Every time we passed through, his GPS kept saying, make a U-turn. He's like, we're going the wrong way. I said, sir, I had enough drunk people in my car drive me in the wrong directions. I'm not listening to you or your GPS. I'm driving to whatever address you put in on this app.
Okay.
Step, he put in the address to drive him directly to the bluff.
Yo.
Now, he was trying to go to Little Five Points, Moreland Avenue.
Yeah.
And I know...
makes more sense.
I know the bluff very well.
Yeah.
When we crossed Joseph E. Boone and Larry, which is Simpson and Ashby. Yes. So he was like, this is not the right way. I said, bruh, I'm driving you to wherever this address is. I don't know where Arcadia is, but what I do know is you put in Northwest Atlanta, which is the hood, and you might have meant Northeast Atlanta. So he's just like, well, man, I'm sorry, man. I mean, so now he's extremely apologetic because he's thinking I'm about to drop him off in the hood because he kept apologizing for putting his hand on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
At the same time, I didn't mean to be all gay-ish. I said, well, dude, you were. You were absolutely gay. That was a whole gay move. And I don't care what you say about you being straight. I'm officially in my mind, you gay. You know what I'm saying? And I told him this. You know, I ain't saying this under my breath. I told him this. So we finally turned down one of the worst neighborhoods we can turn down. He's just like, so what are you going to do? You going to put me out right here knowing I'm a sore thumb? You know what I'm saying? Like a sore thumb. So at this point, I'm tickled. Because he's now paying the price for making me upset.
Yeah.
So he's begging and pleading with me. And I said, sir, I'm going to give you one. I said, here's your options. You ordered a line. A line, people, with a Lyft ride is the cheapest ride you can ride and get. Here's the downfall to ordering them cheap rides. The driver can't change the address when you're driving. The driver's only going to get paid to drive you to where the address is.
Oh, wow.
If I drive you to where you're going, I'm driving on my own dime. So I said, so here's your only two options. You can get out and you can order you another Lyft because I have to end this ride once I get it to where you're going.
Yeah.
Or you could pay me directly and I could take you to exactly where you want to go. So he was just like, man, please, whatever. I want whatever. So I ended the ride. That was like $14 on that ride.
Yeah.
So I put in the correct address and I said, exactly like I told you, bro. I said, you trying to go to Northeast, you put in Northwest. And I said, now you born and raised here in Georgia, but you born and raised in Roswell. It's obvious your parents kept you hibernated off in Roswell.
Yeah.
Because you don't know nothing about Atlanta, and that's sad. So here's two things. Number one, know where you're going from here on out. Number two, always know that Northeast, Northwest, Southeast, Southwest is very important in Atlanta, Georgia.
That makes a difference.
One side, Southwest Atlanta, is SWATs. That's where I'm from, Zone 7. Southeast Atlanta is closer to Buckhead, to where you from. You came from Southeast Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so from here on out, learn that. Dude wound up giving me $20 to take him 10 minutes from where he needed to go. And then he was actually about to go buy some drugs. All this was to buy drugs.
Hey, he could have bought drugs in the Bluff.
Exactly. Too scared. So you know what the brother did? Gave me the rest of his money because he was so thankful I didn't drop him off in the hood. And he said he was just about to blow all his money anyway on dope. So he gave it to me. So
how much was that?
Well, it was a total of $55, almost $60.
Wow. Okay.
So that was one of them things where I prayed to God for something, never expected God to give it to me in that manner. I didn't say, God, bring the nicest, healthiest people. I just said, I want to be prosperous in a short amount of time so I don't have to be out here 7 and 8 hours making money.
Yeah.
And God brought a belligerent, drunk white boy, put in the wrong address, about to go buy some dope, wound up giving me all his dope money.
And so you didn't get the dope.
Yep. On top of the actual Lyft ride. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was I was with him for a total of 45 minutes. Mm. So that was a major blessing.
Good money.
That was a major blessing. So
yeah.
I just had to tell that Lyft Chronicle, you know what I'm saying? Because that took my night the whole night.
Did you tell him to not put his hands on anybody's neck after that?
I said, when he got the car, I said, future reference, don't ever in your life sit next to a black man if you're going to feel the urge to put your hands on him, period.
Or touch his radio.
Oh no, we had the radio conversation because he wanted to play this certain song and I wouldn't let him Bluetooth his phone to my car. And I said, I don't allow nobody to Bluetooth their phone to my car and I don't bring an aux cord so you can play what you want. I've tried that, but too many people think that they order a ride that this car is theirs or belongs to them the entire time they drive it. And I have to constantly remind people, this is a ride share experience. That's what Lyft and Uber calls it.
Yeah,
they don't call it your ride, somebody driving to pick you up and take you where you need to go.
Yeah, because you're special.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you experiencing this ride from me dropping you off to where you want to go and the process of where I'm going. So, we had the whole black man, you don't touch a black man's radio part in the car when he tried to Bluetooth his phone to my car. But I just had to get that out there.
I hear you, man. Wow, that's a crazy story.
Yeah. I'm
still uncomfortable about the neck thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, you should have... To me, that was all God, because the old me would have punched him immediately and then kicked him out of my car. Like, driving. Like, I would have just opened up the door and pushed him out driving. That's the old me. But it was like, okay.
So, did it soothe you when he told
him? Are you serious, dude? I'll mess with you. You always want to be cussed real strong on the radio show. Did it soothe me, man?
Was he trying to...
I literally had jitters and critters for like the next 20 minutes. You know, you may touch something that's nasty. You got the ill feeling. That's how I had for like the next 20 minutes. It wasn't until he got out of my car I felt really, really better because it was no longer in my car. Because after all apologies, he still was like extra close. And he wasn't leaning towards me. He was just sitting next to me. Like, I just feel like that's way too close to somebody who you don't know, who got strong alcohol breath, who has already committed to touching you twice already.
I mean, as a dude, though, I don't know. There's nothing disrespectful to gay people, but it's like, as a straight male, I don't know any other males that want that closeness. Like, I'm uncomfortable with dudes touching me. I had people come up behind me before and try to massage me, and it's always a white dude. It's weird. Like, they
For me,
every time this happens, it's been a white person.
That's because they don't see anything wrong. Yeah. White people think it's okay to walk up on you and tell them they love you and want to hug you all. Now, there's nothing wrong. I would just prefer you to not be drunk when you do it. Most of the times, they're always drunk when they're in this loving feeling. The sad part is when you ain't drunk, you're terrified the way I look. But when you're drunk, it's just like all about a love.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but you're right. It is always white people that are touchy-feely.
It's always happened to me.
And very loving. Yep. Yes. You can be very loving. Just, I would rather you be a white girl, very touchy-feely.
I hear you.
I can take that all day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a dude, no, it never will happen.
I've always been a dude, and then they don't... I guess it's just different, because I had a coworker, and he was like the person, he would talk, but he's always the person who want to walk right up in your face and talk.
Be right up in you?
Yeah.
Right up in your
and
face?
Every time he stepped to my face, I'd always take 2 steps back.
Right.
You know, like, what is it? What do you need? Because you know how people walk up to you, they got to tell you a secret?
Yeah. So that's how close he be?
Yeah, that's how I did. He walk up to me, so I'm leaning in like, yo, what you got to tell me? Right. And he talking a normal voice, so I back up like, okay. Because he'd walk straight up to me and be like it seemed like 2 inches from the 2 inches from my face, but it's like he'd walk up to me and it was so close and so direct, it's like, so I'm kind of leaning and turning my head like, yo, so what is it? What you got to tell me? And he'd be talking normal, so that's why I back, I'm like, dang, that's weird.
Every time
he told me, that's how he did it, man.
That is.
So that's just funny. Anyway, this had nothing to do with the show.
It didn't. I just had, you know, we had to get some laughs in the middle. You know, in the midst thing of it.
Is, we've had so many serious shows and in-depth conversations. We like to goof around and play and have a good time sometimes. And we realized we hadn't gave y'all any Uber stories in a long time. So we wanted to add it in. I'm glad you got that out the way first.
Right.
All
right,
so now it is September
28th.
I'm gonna go that far.
Oh, my bad.
Now you just dated the show. Now you might as well just told the year and everything.
My bad. 2017, y'all.
I know, right? So anyway, this is a show I was gonna play every year around this time. But anyway, it is September 28th, and this is typically the time when people start getting ready for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Which means if you're in the Facebook world, this is typically the time you see some people posting up stuff about Halloween, and you see the Christians posting up stuff about why Halloween is demonic.
Right. Right.
And before we dive into all the facts, I'm just going to say this. I get annoyed when it comes to Christians wanting to demonize everything, although I am a believer myself.
Right.
However, I don't always want to be so quick to dispute what the warnings are that they might be trying to show. But it seems like sometimes we just get so quick to demonize everything because we don't understand. I've seen so many posts that demonize stuff that clearly isn't demonic.
It's got
but
nothing
it's like,
to do with right.
And so, you know, and I've also heard it both ways. I heard the origin stories of Halloween from Christians. I've heard it from people who are not necessarily believers. And I'm not gonna give you the Christian perspective or of the origin, because at the end of the day, it is still biased.
Right.
And you can't tell me that the Bible literally called it Halloween, because for one, when the Bible was printed, it was after Halloween had already started. Like, I'm not talking about the part where the Bible was written. I'm talking about the books when it actually formed as a Bible.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to say. So it's not like the Bible's going to speak against trick-or-treating or anything like that.
Right.
So you can't tell me that the Bible says this. I mean, you might be able to draw a good conclusion by certain things, but I don't always fall into it. I wanted to get an unbiased, just a factual, informational history segment of Halloween.
Right.
I admit, I did know a lot about Halloween, the origins of it, and I admit I did learn more stuff. And at one point, as a believer, I celebrated Halloween as in, I ain't gonna say celebrate, because I didn't celebrate Halloween. I participated in Halloween, and then at some point, I read some things like, oh my God, I guess I can't celebrate Halloween anymore. So I'm not here to tell you whether you should or shouldn't. I'm just here, like I always do, like we always do, give you the information, let you form your opinion. Use of opinion is not gonna affect my opinion, and vice versa.
Right.
And his information might, but opinions don't affect me like that.
Right.
So Yusuf, I'm gonna go in unless you got.
Go ahead, go ahead.
So I'm gonna give you like a quick summary,
And I hope we don't have the same. So which we probably do.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do my research. Every pretty much same thing said the same thing. I'm just curious, you know, if anybody out there referenced Halloween to the Bible. I'm curious where you find that scripture at.
Yeah.
Because they don't say nothing about no Halloween in no Bible.
Now, of course, our usual disclaimer is this. If you feel convicted on celebrating Halloween, then by all means, don't celebrate it.
That's in anything,
yeah,
really.
Anything,
though. Right?
Sometimes, like I told people, like I tell a lot of people, it's like some in the Christian faith or the Christian walk, it's not always just right and wrong. It doesn't always boil down to that. It boils down to what's best.
Right.
Like it might not be wrong for you to drink, but is it best for me to drink in front of certain people? Is it best for me to drink?
Right.
Period. You know, we had the conversation about pork. Is it best? Is it right? Is it wrong? Some things it's just best. Just because permissible don't make it beneficial.
That's true.
But anyway, so let me go into what I got, and then you can read his information, and then we can go from there. I got a little summary, and I will say the summary I got is a different source than the information I looked on the computer found earlier. But everything I Google, I went to different searches, different sites, and the information is pretty much consistent. Every now and then I might get a tidbit more, but that's not my only source. So here's a little quick snippet. Because when it comes to Halloween, you got trick-or-treating, you got the jack-o'-lantern, you got the orange and black colors, you got the mask and costumes, and you got all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to read the origin of trick-or-treating. Here it started out on All Souls Day in England. People would give out pastries in exchange for prayers for their dead relatives.
Oh, okay.
That's where that comes from. I have deeper. I'm just giving you a quick summary. We can go deeper in a little bit later. As far as the mask and costumes, ancient Celts or Irish would wear masks to avoid being recognized by ghosts. That's one explanation of it.
Okay.
Also, I want to dive in that one while we're on it, because people always hear, you see Halloween is fun to dress up as scary people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The origin of that, that's part of it with the mask and costume from the ancient Celts, but also they believe that wearing those ugly masks would actually scare off evil spirits. That's why they really do that.
Right.
And as time goes, traditions change, and it's more fun just to dress up.
Right.
All right, the orange and black. In pagan harvest celebrations, orange symbolizes the crops and black represents the death of summer. That's where you get the orange and black from.
Okay.
All right, a jack-o'-lantern. Scary faces were carved in the turnips. It started off as turnips and then potatoes in the Middle Ages to ward off evil spirits. So the original jack-o'-lanterns were actually turnips. And then later on it became pumpkins, which is actually a lot easier to carve and everything. That's why they did that.
Right.
So that's all I got right now. You know, actually, I'll go a little bit more. Because we're going to talk about... We can talk about, because the original tradition started in Ireland. It's called the harvest. It says this was the time that the cattle, other livestock, were slaughtered for eating in the winter months. So basically, it started out as a harvest, a celebration of harvest, and it ties in with so many different things. And it says any crop still in the field of Samhain. It's spelled Sam like Sam Hain, but it's pronounced Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
To the nature spirit. This was a paganistic practice.
Right.
Okay. It says, reading from any crop still in the field of Samhain were considered taboo and left as an offering to the nature spirits. Bonfires were built, originally called bone fires, for after feasting. The bones were thrown into the fire as offerings for healthy and plentiful livestock in the new year. And stones were marked with people's names. Then they were thrown into the fire to be retrieved in the morning. The condition of the retrieved stone foretold that person's fortune in the coming year. Her fires were also lit from the village bonfire to ensure unity, and the ashes were spread over the harvested fields to protect and bless the land. And so it's also known as All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, the Vigil of Samhain, and it's a lot of other stuff. The Witch's New Year, Halloween, Third Harvest, Samoa, Day of the Dead, All Hallows, Hallowmas. Those are different names of the same holiday.
Right.
Of course, that's a summary. I got a whole bunch more information. But I know Yusuf wants to talk, because every time I say something, he look excited like he either heard it or he got more information. But that's just a sample.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch more that ties into all that.
I'm gonna probably dig more into like the ancient origin.
Yeah, please do.
Of it. So Halloween's origin dates back to the ancient Celtic festival of, like you said, it's spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain or Samhain.
Yeah, Samhain or Samhain.
Yeah, Samhain or Samhain, one of those two. The Celtics who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France celebrated their new year on November 1st. This day marked the end of the summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter time of the year that was often associated with human death. Celts believe that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain or Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that this presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids or Celtics priests to make predictions about the future. For a people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. So I felt that was very interesting because it kind of goes back to it makes sense when you think about pagans.
Yeah.
And, you know, pagans and what they believe, you know, pagans had like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 different gods, you know.
Yeah.
All different gods they pray to. So it kind of lines up with something like them thinking like the night before the new year.
Yeah.
Or the dead and the human come together and it's a blurred line and stuff like that. So it doesn't confuse me as far as why would they think anything like that back then.
Yeah. I mean, other religions thought of more than one gods, though. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't until Christianity came that it was said that there's only one God. Until Christianity, all pagans believed that there was, you know, several gods for several things. And honestly, you know, the God that we serve has more than one name because he's more than one.
Go ahead. I think we're going to the same place. See, I think even though they worshipped certain gods or different gods for each thing, like they had a god of water, the god of nature, the god of this, the god of that.
Right, right.
I think what they were doing was worshipping the attributes of God.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Like rain, you know. Uh-huh. But, you know, as I grow and learn, you know, of course, all those are attributes of our God. God sends rain. God does this. Right. God does that. One God. However, pagans, I think they believe that because each has different attributes.
Right.
I could be completely wrong, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you read about, you know, the sacred bonfires and the crops and stuff like that, and I see that. So I'm going to just go to the second part where it says, by 43 A.D., the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. Are we on the same page, bro?
We got the same info.
Okay. So I guess we'll just share.
No, go ahead. I got some interesting facts, but go ahead.
In the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, F-E-R-A-L-I-A, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally, was that commemorated? Step alarm going off.
It's time to shut up, bud. No, go ahead. That's what you used to talk too long.
Is it commemorated the passing of the dead?
Yes.
The second was a day to honor Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of the celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples.
I got an explanation for that.
Wow, that is practiced today. Okay, give me an explanation on that.
Okay, because you tapped right into that. Okay, so bobbing for apples. When the Celts were absorbed by the Roman Empire, many rituals of the Roman origin began. Among them was the worship of Pomona, goddess of the harvest, often portrayed sitting on a basket of fruits and flowers. Apples were the sacred fruit of the goddess, and many games of divination involving them entered to Samhain customs. So that's where it comes from.
Okay.
Bomb perhaps was originally a way to, I guess, worship Pomona.
Yeah, didn't. Now, yeah. That was totally...
That's something I learned new. That's something I learned new, too.
So, do you want to... Because there's more...
Go back on the same lane you was in before. Okay. I'll just tie in whatever I can. Right.
On May 13th, 609 AD, Pope Boniface V dedicated the Pantheon in Rome in honor of all Christian martyrs, and the Catholic Feast of All Martyrs Day was established in the Western Church, Pope Gregory III, 1734 to 1741. Later expanded the festival to include all saints as well as all martyrs and moved the observance from May 13th to November 1st. By the 9th century, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands where it gradually blended with supplanted the older Celtic rites. In 1000 AD, the church would make November 2nd All Souls Day, a day to honor the dead. It is widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related but church-sanctioned holiday.
Yep.
All Souls Day was celebrated similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costume as saints, angels, and devils. Oh man, this just hurts. The All Saints Day celebration was also called All Hallows or All Hallowmas from Middle English, Aloha Messi, meaning All Saints Day.
Yeah.
And the night before it, the traditional night of Samhain in the Celtic religion began to be called All Hallows Eve and eventually Halloween. Now, yep, before you say something, Steph, the reason why I said it's just like sad is because, so, history lesson on top of this history lesson for those who don't know. Paganism was the first religion ever known to man. So if anybody's telling you Christianity was, they are 1,000% in error. Paganism was the first religion ever found on this planet. And this is not even a Christian Bible that we're reading, but you even say, when it says in here, like, a 1000 AD, Christianity started spreading right, yes, out throughout, you know, the land.
Mm-hmm.
So what Christians had to, now mind you, is it anybody that's a believer right now? It's almost like you've been a believer since you was one and you're 59 right now. And when you turn 60, somebody comes up with this brand new religion, but it's the real religion. And what you've been learning all this time has been false, but they want you to convert to their religion, but they know you're not. So what they do is they come up with certain holidays that's similar to what you normally would celebrate, and they would give it a name that's similar to what your original is, mm-hmm, but it's not. So I said all that to say, the Catholic Church were swindling people into Christianity back in those days, which is why I'm a big protester against Easter when Easter comes, because, you know, they...
I hear you, Puz. This is about Halloween.
No, I'm not about to go into the whole...
Don't take the Easter show away from us.
I'm about to go into the Easter show. I'll wait. Yeah. Oh, boy, I'll wait for that to come. Only point I wanted to make was that Christians back then, in order for them, they came up with several ways to convert pagans into Christianity, and you just heard an example. Mm-hmm. It was to come up with a similar holiday that has something to do with what it is that they actually celebrated, and it's a Christian thing, but they have you thinking it's a pagan thing, but it's really a Christian thing though. So that was all that's all I want to say. That was all systematically set up for people to get converted to Christianity when they were pagans.
Same thing with the origins of Christmas, but we'll save that for the Christmas show. I'm giving y'all some little hints for the next couple of shows.
Right, right.
Well, they're coming. I'll just tell you that now.
Right.
All right, so I agree. Everything you said is the same information. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just tells me I'm on the right path because that's the history. What I will say is that I haven't heard anything demonic yet. I heard paganism. I haven't heard anything about it being a devil's holiday or anything of the such.
Uh-huh.
I was taught that was a special day, significant day to Satanists and witches. That's what I was taught.
Yeah, I was taught.
But I researched it. I did not find anything other than what we found on every source, every single source.
Right.
Okay, but anyway, let's go back to trick or treating. I want to talk about trick or treating again, the origin of trick or treat.
Right.
Because what happens is, Halloween, what we have now, is not what it was then.
Right.
Okay, so you have several different traditions that came together, just like Christmas. Each tradition in Christmas came from different parts of history. So, trick-or-treating. The custom of trick-or-treating probably has several origins. During the Samhain, the druids believed that the dead would play tricks on mankind and cause panic and destruction. They had to be appeased, so country folk would give the druids food as they visited their homes. An old Irish peasant practice for going door to door to collect money, bread, cake, cheese, eggs, butter, apples, etc., in preparation for the festival of St. Columbkill.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a 9th century European custom called souling. On November 2nd, All Souls Day, early Christians would walk from village to village begging for quote-unquote soul cakes, made out of square pieces of bread with currants. I don't know what a currant is.
Okay.
The more soul cakes the beggars would receive, the more prayers they would promise to say on behalf of the dead relatives of the donors. At the time, it was believed that the dead remained in limbo for a time after death, and that prayer, even by strangers, could expedite a soul's passage to heaven. Okay. That was interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we touched on that a little bit with the trick-or-treating, but that's where the origins of trick-or-treating come in.
Okay.
That's that, what I got about trick-or-treating. And we talked about how the Romans Christianized it, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Now, I got it to where it talks about how it became more of an American thing.
Oh, before you get there, let me jump on it.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I was going to say all that to say, to ask this question and then, of course, answer. So, of course, we know it started in Ireland. The earliest records of it is in Ireland. Of course, that was Samhain. That was the end of the summer and all that stuff.
Right.
And then the trick-or-treating, that started in Ireland. And also, they also did it in other parts of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but how did it get to America? So, this is the interesting part. History buffs. The Irish potato famine in 1845 to 1850... They had a potato famine in Ireland, so that prompted over 700,000 Irish people to immigrate to the Americas. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you immigrate people, you bring their tradition. These immigrants brought with them their traditions of Halloween, jack-o'-lanterns, but turnips were not as readily available as back home. So because in Ireland, they used turnips to make the jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
Okay, but since they didn't have as many turnips in America, they started using pumpkins, which to me, pumpkins seemed like they'd be an easier choice anyway.
Right.
But either way, they found the American pumpkin to be a more than adequate replacement. Today, the car pumpkin is perhaps the most famous icon of the holiday. Pudge.
Add on to that, taken from the Irish and English traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition. Young women believed that on Halloween, they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple pairings, or mirrors. And that was the part I wanted to... I just wanted to dovetail that on the last thing you said.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghost pranks and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focused on games, food of the seasons, and festive costumes. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening or gross out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with it.
Okay. It says by the 1920s and 1930s, Halloween had become a secular but community-centered holiday with parades and town-wide parties as they feature entertainment. Despite the best efforts of many schools and communities, vandalism began to plague Halloween celebrations in many communities, especially mine when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, by the 1950s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism, and Halloween had evolved into a holiday directed mainly at the young. Due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s, baby boom parties moved from town civic centers into classroom or home where they could be more easily accommodated. Between 1920 and 1950, the centuries-old practice of trick-or-treating was also revived. Trick-or-treating was a relatively inexpensive way for an entire community to share their Halloween celebration. In theory, families could also prevent tricks being played on them by providing the neighborhood children with small treats. A new American tradition was born, and it has continued to grow. Today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion annually on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday.
Wow.
That's very, very interesting.
All right, so I got a little bit more information.
Okay.
And some of the information will be done because this history is all going to tie into what we already talked about. But I thought I saw something that was... here's something right here. I'm going to just recap a little bit.
Right.
Okay, the Irish used turns into jacks or jack-o'-lanterns originally, but when the immigrants came to America, they found pumpkins were far more plentiful than turnips.
Mm-hmm.
So the jack-o'-lantern in America was a hollowed-out pumpkin with lit with ember or mm-hmm. a candle. So although some cults may have adopted Halloween as their favorite quote-unquote holiday, the day itself did not grow out of evil practices. It grew out of rituals of Celts celebrating a new year and out of medieval prayer rituals of the Europeans. And today, it is only as evil as one cares to make it.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, stop demonizing it, basically.
Right.
But people can use it for whatever they want. But I wanted to go back to this right here because there's something that's interesting about it. Because I know some of the origins, but this is something I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with history, is sometimes you have to split that word up. His story, so his story,
right,
is his story,
right.
So even with this, it's saying some accounts tell. So I'm reading. So we'll go back again. In ancient Ireland, the druids sacrificed to the deities by burning victims. And yeah, it says victims.
Mm-hmm.
In ancient Ireland, the druids sacrificed to the deities by burning victims in wickerwork cages. That's kind of like the movie The Wicker Man.
Exactly.
Okay. All other fires were to be extinguished and were relit from the sacrificial fire. Samhain, or Samhain is a spell. Samhain marked the third and final harvest and the storage of provisions for the winter. The veil between the worlds of the living and the dead was believed to be at its thinnest point in this year. We went over that several times.
Mm-hmm.
Making communication between the living and the dead much easier. On the eve of the holiday, the souls of the dead freely roamed the land of the living. Okay. Some accounts tell of how the Celts would burn someone at the stake who was thought to have already been possessed as a sort of a lesson to the spirits. The spirit they have here in parentheses is Panati. P-A-N-A-T-I. Other accounts of Celtic history debunk these stories as myth. Okay, the Romans adopted the Celtic practices as their own, but in the 1st century AD, they abandoned any practice of sacrificing humans in favor of burning effigies. The thrust of the practices also changed over time to become more ritualized. As belief in spirit possession waned, the practice of dressing up like hobgoblins, ghosts, and witches took on a more ceremonial role. And the custom of Halloween was brought to America in the 1840s by Irish immigrants fleeing the country's potato famine. At that time, they're talking about pranks and all that stuff. At that time, the favorite pranks in New England, included tipping over outhouses and unhinging fence gates. So even with the pranks, that even dates back to the Irish coming over because, you know, and they got much more maniacal or devious. As time went on, because, you know, it depends on where you're from. Because some places don't do that. But I know you from up north like me.
Mm-hmm.
And up north, we call it Devil's Night.
Right.
You know,
right.
And Devil's Night, that's where vandalism would take place. You go bust windows, you egg people, yeah. Egg cars, that kind of stuff. And yeah. That was the day before Halloween for us.
Right.
October 3rd was
called Devil's Night. It was always the day before, yeah.
And so that, I guess that's where those pranks come, I guess that's right. Where that comes from, too.
Right.
So, you have anything you want to add to the history of it?
Yeah, man. Not more so the history, but more so on a biblical standpoint, which we know there's no scriptures to debunk that. However, I did pull up I just looked at where I got this from.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to read it now, but I'm just going to put this out here anyway.
You sure about
that? I just looked at the page, the website, who sponsors the website is Jehovah's Witnesses who sponsored it.
They don't celebrate anything, so
and they have scripture. Okay, the Bible does not mention Halloween. However, both ancient origins of Halloween and its modern costume show it to be a celebration based on false beliefs about the dead and invisible spirits or demons. The Bible warns there must never be anyone among you who consults ghosts or spirits or calls of the dead. They have Deuteronomy 18,
okay.
10 through 12. While some view Halloween as harmless fun, the Bible indicates that the practices associated with it are not. And they say you can find this in 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21. The Bible says, I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and cup of demons too. That's in the New International Version.
I agree.
So that, yeah, me too. So That was all. Well, that's all they had as far as that. Then it's given the origin of Samhain and 2 years back and all this other stuff. And however, the Bible clearly teaches that the dead or conscious of nothing at all in Ecclesiastes 9:5 thus cannot contact the living.
I also believe that.
Me too. And I feel like this is literally Halloween costumes, candy, and trick or treat is given the same thing that we read, yeah. And then at the end it says, the Bible, on the other hand, does not permit merging false religious practices with the worship of God, 2 Corinthians 6:17. So, yeah. Honestly, this is debunking everything that we read, it's not debunking what we read, because we just read history and facts.
Yeah, that's all, yeah.
And so I guess the question we never posed is, when it comes to believers, is it okay for you to still do this, knowing the origin of it, where it came from, and also knowing that when it hit America, the origin of where it came from was not based on why America started celebrating it. It more so became, you know, to life of doing things and partying. And then shortly after that, it even stopped being for adults and more so just for children now. Mm-hmm. So me personally, the origin of something is everything. It doesn't matter that the world changed it to be something else now. I think about the origin of where it came from. And the fact that I read about you talking about something being a blur between dead and live, folks, I'm good on that. And I'm just good on that, period. And then it's the thing where you can't deny the fact that certain costumes brings the presence of demonic spirits. I don't care if you're the most loving person in the world, you walking around with a Jason mask on with the sword, you're not representing love at all.
He's preaching at me, y'all.
It's Freddy Krueger.
It was a machete, not a sword. It's a little bit different.
Go ahead. Look, I don't think who's scared cares. when they got the fake blood on the sword and machete,
they don't care at all.
Okay, finish. But that's my personal, like, it says for the Halloween's costumes, you can read 2 Corinthians 6-17 and debunk that. For ghosts, vampires, werewolves, witches, and zombies, you can read Ephesians 6:12 to debunk that. Halloween pumpkins or jack-o'-lanterns, Ezekiel 18:4 to debunk that. So
what's the scripture to debunk jack-o'-lanterns?
Well, we had to pull out the scripture, but here's what it says. In the medieval Britain, supplicants moved from door to door asking for food in return for a prayer for the dead. We read that already.
Yeah.
And they would carry hollowed out
I'm talking about what the scripture says about it.
Well, we got it. I mean, Ezekiel 18:4 says, look at all the souls. To me they belong as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. To me they belong. The soul who sins is the one who will die. I don't get that at all.
And okay. They're reaching on that. Your face is like, okay.
I'm confusing them all. Because I'm like, now mind you, the reason why I'm confused, number one, I know the word, and you have to know exactly what was going on in Ezekiel.
What was
going on that time, and true. I'm only reading one verse out of a whole chapter, Because to me, that just confused the mess out of me.
Yeah, that annoys me when someone's trying to debunk something and they give a scripture and it seems like that's vague.
Because my thing
the scripture's wrong, just saying
it's too vague to me, because my thing is when you're reading, mm-hmm. That people who don't really read, you should give not interpretation, but
a precept?
As far as like a setup. Like, okay, this scripture in Ezekiel, this was going on at the time, and God was doing this at the time. So when you read this, he was talking about this at the time. A quick two sentences could get you to understand what you're about to read. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, so, and just the, this is the Amplified Bible saying, no, it's not. That's something else. Because I'm curious what, I want to be able to understand what it is I just read, because you could tell by my face, I didn't understand nothing. Behold, parentheses, pay close attention. All souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die.
About something specific in that book.
Exactly. That's talking about something going on in Ezekiel. I don't see how that parallels with what it is that's debunking Halloween pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns. Like, now, mind you, it might be talking about the souls when it comes to that. You know, either way it go, people. read for yourself. And I, and you know, this Steph said this in the beginning. If you're feeling convicted,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't be doing it. That's one thing I can always safely say.
Yes. All right, let me share my opinion, because you shared yours.
Right.
And I was laughing because we have, like, the opposite opinion.
Uh-huh.
Because when you said the origin means, and I'm, in my mind, I'm like, not that much to me. But you like, everything. Everything. The origin means everything.
Oh, you said you reached nothing over that much.
Yeah, because I don't look at the original intent of things, because that's just me.
Gotcha.
And it don't, that's just with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because a lot of stuff we have today, the original intent of certain things were for, I wish I had more information. A lot of the stuff we use now in everyday life, the original intention of it was for something totally different. Like, even like some of the inventions we have now, some of them was invented for war, but we don't use it for war. We use it for other stuff.
Right.
And I wish I had a whole list of these different inventions that we use that's convenient. It could be something like a cell phone, but it's different origins. I mean, it's different materials, mm-hmm. especially with military, or even with when it came to mustard gas or stuff like that. That was originally intended for something totally different. So I think you can always take something and change it. So I always go by what it is now.
Okay.
Like, even if you want to go spiritual, I can kind of reach with this one. The Bible can say what the devil meant for bad, God used for good.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, I can't harp on stuff not changing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And it's like, and then for all you Christians out there, if you're going to say origins don't matter, but you still celebrate Christmas, then you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, you might want to do some research.
And then you always got people saying, well, you know, they're taking Christ out of Christmas, or Christmas ain't what it used to be. It used to be about Christ. Okay, if people can change the meaning of things for good or bad, then I say, to me, origin doesn't weigh that much on me.
Right.
Like, the stuff I read, some of it was like I agree what they were saying, like, not the origin of Halloween, my point, I agree what the scriptures are saying concerning situations like that. I don't necessarily think it's conclusive that it's specifically speaking about Halloween.
Right,
because, for one, I do agree that when souls die, when people die, their soul is not here with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do one on ghosts and demons later on in life. We're going to have to do one, because people see ghosts all the time. Mm-hmm. So what are ghosts then, if they're not souls of dead people, right? And then what about people who say they see their loved ones watching over them or stuff like that? So those counts do happen. So it's going to be an explanation there. But I definitely believe that souls are not present. Dead people are not present with us. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible supports that.
Right.
And so, but when they talk about the lines between natural and the spiritual world being blurred at that particular day,
mm-hmm.
it might be something to that. I don't know. But I think, to me, anything, I can't say anything is what your intention, but anything sometimes is what you use it for. I also think it depends on your perspective a lot of times.
True.
Like, living in the United States of America right now, as a black person and a white person, is perspective, big perspective difference on a lot of different things.
That's true.
As a black person, I still celebrate the 4th of July, but a lot of people don't celebrate the 4th of July because slaves weren't independent when 4th of July came.
And I call it the 4th of July.
Yeah. So it depends on how you feel about it, I guess. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, people can look at a knife. A knife can be used to kill somebody, or it can use to cut some steak up. True. So it depends on what you're using for. Don't mean the origin of the knife was evil.
That's true.
Even if it was invented to kill people. I'm not saying that's what knives were invented for. So the origin doesn't bother me. And just because that's what it was used for back then don't mean that's what's being used for now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any kid that know the origin of Halloween to the point where it's like, to them it just means candy and we get to dress up.
Right.
You know, honestly, dressing up as scary people to scare away evil spirits, even if that's not biblical, hey, I don't think it's a bad practice.
Right.
It don't sound like a bad deal. It doesn't sound like they... Because everybody always has this idea that Halloween is of demonic origin. It's pagan origin. You know, these people, everything I read in here, even though they're contrary to my beliefs, it seemed like their intentions were good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they go and begging for cakes so people will pray for their dead relatives.
Yeah.
You know, then they dressing up to scare away and to ward off evil spirits. Anything to try to ward off evil spirits is a plus in my book.
Right. I got you.
Now, I don't think dressing up as certain creatures in Halloween bring demonic presences, I'm not saying it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything, a lot of times, is with your... something you can't do... Your intentions don't matter in some things.
Right.
Like, if you cursing somebody, you're saying bad things about people, like you saying this dude will never succeed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and joking, like, yo, he's never going to succeed. I still think, whether the intention or a joke or not, I still think the universe does respond to that, and you are speaking the curses on people.
Right.
So I can't say it's always the intention, but I also think when it comes to celebrating something, I definitely think it's by your intentions only, or play a huge part.
Right.
Like I always say, atheists celebrate Christmas, and we know atheists don't believe in God, so of course they don't believe in Jesus.
Right.
But they believe in the fact that you're giving gifts and they enjoy it.
Right.
So when I look at Halloween, I don't want to say I celebrate Halloween because I don't celebrate Samhain or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But I do allow my kids to trick or treat. We do dress up, and I dress up because it's fun. And if I dress up any other day, I just look like a weirdo. I might get shot because I'm 6'4". I got the jumpsuit. I rock my Jason mask, and it looks like the one in the movie. So I might get shot in any normal day. So the only day I get to wear it, unless I'm at a horror movie convention, not a horror movie convention, because I always say horror convention. If I thought I was saying horror convention.
Right.
So I want to say scary movie convention. That was the only place I could wear my Jason mask. So Halloween, I will be dressed up as Jason. Now, I did learn that when churches do the trunk or treat thing, I think they want kid-friendly masks. Of course, me, I dressed up as Jason.
Exactly. See,
and I realized,
scared the mess out of even
little
kids.
I did, man. And I realized maybe I should have worn something a little bit more kid-friendly, but I don't have a kid. Like, you tell me I can dress up as something for Halloween, I'm always going to be Jason. Jason's one of my favorite characters.
Oh, my God.
However, to each his own once again. Like, you know, we do bonfires, but the reason I do bonfires is because it's cold outside, and I get my friends around, and we fellowship.
Right.
You know, I have no problem with that. Like I said, origins don't mean anything to me as far as that. Like, the origin of us coming to this country was because of slavery. So that doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me now. I'm
right.
here. Because
right.
if it affected me now, I would move to Africa.
Right.
And I dang sure don't want to go to Africa, so I'm good.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's like I said, if you're conjuring up demons or you're doing seances and stuff like that, I almost want cousins, stuff like that.
Right.
No, that's wrong. I'm sorry. That is wrong.
Right.
Having a Ouija board is wrong. You know, but if you dressing up to literally go get candy door to door, and that's your only intent, I don't see a problem with that. Now, like I said, in my walk, in the beginning, I was cool with Halloween. Like, yeah, we're gonna go do all this stuff, trick or treat, dress up, and then I started hearing people talking about it was demonic. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's demonic, I don't want to be a part of it, and it hurts all this other stuff that can happen on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a sacred holiday to the Satanists and all that stuff, and it might be. But trick-or-treating is not celebrated. It's like Christmas, you know, on December 25th, there's other holidays celebrated on December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So that don't mean just because you're celebrating on a particular day, you're participating or celebrating a specific holiday.
Right, it doesn't.
So I don't feel any conviction with celebrating Halloween. The only conviction I feel is coming from other believers.
Right.
You know, that's just my take. Now, here's the other question, though. Should churches participate in Halloween by doing a trunk-or-treat? Or some churches, I mean, I don't care how you say it, you call it trunk or treat, you call it fall festival, whatever you want to call it, Hallelujah night. At the end of the day, you're providing an alternative for Halloween on the same night of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think that's right, wrong, or what?
I don't see nothing wrong with it. It all depends. For the most trunk or treats, this thing I've seen, I have four kids, and we stopped. Our kids never got into the Halloween thing because
of you and you.
Yeah, my kid, like when we were all together, like, it just, them growing up, it's just one of them things where I saw no good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the costumes is really what bothered me. It's not even about, now when it came to the kids dressing up for Halloween party at school, yeah, of course, I don't want my kids to stand out and feel like they can't be a part. You know, kids, you really have to pay attention to your kids and their surroundings and their society. So when it came to them, it'd be like, yes, y'all can go dress up like this. of course, whatever you dressing as, it's going to be some kind of superhero or something like that. It's not going to be nothing where it just looked like
a devil.
Yes, yeah. You know, ain't going to be no Count Dracula or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So we would let them do that. But when it came to, like, walking out here in the streets, knocking on folk doors or constantly buying no candy, hell no, we're not doing that. Number one, this is America.
It's dangerous.
And people have poisoned candy before just to see people get sick and die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's dangerous. Halloween is dangerous.
Yeah, that's number one. So I feel the trunk-or-treats are safer.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is the reason why I don't have an issue with it. Number one, and I'm talking about the ones that don't have the skeletons and the scarecrows and the the lanterns with the pumpkins with the scary look sitting all on the church building. Hell no, we not going there. That's a church we won't even visit on a Sunday. I'm sorry. Because somewhere in their mind, they got it twisted. Because I get why churches do it. It's like we want save. It's a million saved kids out here who don't want to celebrate the actual Halloween, but they still want to dress up. Yeah. They still want to feel like they're a part of it. So mm-hmm. I don't have any issue with churches doing it. And it's one of those things where it's like you know, during the trunk or treat, you still hear them talking about Jesus and God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because it's a trunk or treat, that don't exclude God from you having to know about him or stuff like that. Like, I got four kids, like I said, so mm-hmm. we would always have to find places like that during that time for our kids, so yeah. they would not be left out. Now, in the beginning, they were few in number.
Yeah.
My church started doing it just for the kids at mm-hmm. our church, but now you can find, a lot of churches that do trunk or treat. So, yes, no, I don't have an issue with churches doing it if it's still God-oriented, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't going to say God-oriented because them folks with the skeletons outside their church probably still think they being God-oriented, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm going to ask you about that, but go ahead.
Because my thing is there are portals. You can open up a portal just by looking at the wrong picture and your mind going somewhere to where you open up a portal. So my thing is if I'm a kid and I'm scared of scarecrows or I'm scared of skeletons and vampires and I'm telling my child we're going to a church, yeah. and when we walk up at the church, you see a skeleton of a vampire, that's opening up a portal to that child because that child's already scared of that, yeah. number one. And it can cause, when you open up a portal, you allow your, yeah. your spirit to be vulnerable for anything to come in. So my thing is, if it ain't good portals you opening up, then I don't agree with it.
I hear you. And I agree with what you're saying. I don't agree with the skeleton part.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say skeleton.
Yeah, skeletons. I agree. Skeletons, vampires,
my
all
thing
that.
Is, I get the vampire, I get the werewolf, but the thing is, it's a skeleton. We have a skeleton.
Yeah, we have. But think about how skeletons came into today. When you ask a normal child, when you see a skeleton, what do you think about? They don't say a doctor, or they don't say like someone who's a surgeon where you have to look at a skeleton. Or don't think about their biology class. Yeah. They say Halloween.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why
I got
a skeleton literally is not a scary thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad because they have portrayed it to be something scary.
Yeah, that's also, that just sounds like one of those things people demonize.
That's what they did.
But like at the same time, like it's a skeleton. We got a skeleton.
True.
If you look at an X-ray, you're going to see my skeleton.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm saying. I agree with the fact that the scary part of it, I just don't think the skeletons and stuff like that, that's natural.
Yeah, that is natural.
I hear your sentiment. I have, go ahead.
No, because I'm about to say, because you have, I've seen somebody where, you know, they walk around on Halloween where they got the armor like it's cut off.
Cool.
So, see, you find that cool, you know what I'm saying? Where the arm is tucked in, but he got the arm chopped off and the blood dripping, and he still got the axe in the arm.
So I might do that this year.
And he's walking around like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's scary as I don't know what to a kid, you know what I'm saying? To the average kid.
Not my kids.
Kids will die fully into that.
They'd be so like, oh my God.
They'll be intrigued and be asking them, how did you do that? Exactly. So I can do it next time.
Exactly.
So it's just to each his own thing because your kids, it ain't opening up no portals. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's exciting for them to another child. It might scare the mess out of them. They dreaming about it. Next thing you know, something else done that.
That's all fun to me and my kids. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, we had an hour, so I'm going to just wrap it up by saying my kids have only gone trick-or-treat twice in their lives, so I'm a good parent for all the Christians out there who may be judging me. But no.
You shouldn't be judging, period, because there's something in your closet you ain't proud of.
But most of the time, we do a bonfire here. The reason we start doing bonfires here at my house because it's fun.
It's very fun.
And also, for me, we say bonfire. I don't care about the origin, but for us, it's really a bonding period. Like all the adults sit around the fire. We talk. We minister to each other. It's a great time. We fellowship. It's a great thing. But we did it as an alternative to Halloween, so people would have something to do.
Right.
And my kids decided they wanted to go trick or treating. They're old enough to go trick or treating and made that decision for themselves. So I let them go. You know, I don't know what they're gonna do this year. They're getting kind of up there in age, but we had a great time. And one thing I will say about the churches, I don't have a problem with the churches, what they're doing as far as the Halloween thing. If they're doing trunk or treat, they call it Hallelujah Night, trunk or treat, trick or treat, Halloween party church. That doesn't really bother me.
Right.
What they do bothers me, it could bother me. But I'm all on board with the churches that do the trunk or treat. It's a great alternative. Also, I don't mind my kids going trick or treat, but it's just dangerous to trick or treat. So a lot of places actually, right. Nowadays, a lot of kids are going to the mall, they're going to the stores, they're going to the restaurants. Because even Chick-fil-A does something when you walk in, they give you candy in the costume.
Okay.
If you're in the costume, they give you candy. And it's to keep you out of the streets because it's dangerous out there.
Right.
You know, people, like he said, people are poisoning candy. People getting kidnapped. So it's dangerous. I'd rather my kids go to a church event than to be out in the streets doing trick-or-treat.
Right.
Now, the skeleton, the skulls, and crawl, you know, that, I think that's awesome. My church did that would be dope. However, I do think there should be a line drawn at the church. Not, you know, the vampires, werewolves, stuff like that. Scary, you know, dude with an arm half cut off at the church. As far as the decoration goes,
right,
that's going a little too far.
Right,
that can be, you know, misleading. However, as the costume goes, for me, it is no limit. I'm all in. Like, it doesn't scare me. I think it's cool. I find it fascinating.
Right,
they don't scare me.
Right,
you know, that's just me. So there's no pores being opened up other than, you know, like, hey, I know what I'm doing next year. But other than that, you know, to each his own. And yeah, this was a long podcast. I'm glad we got the Uber story out, or the Lyft story out the way early. But thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
It's Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.